Welcome to Life, Lessons, and Laughter with your host, Glenn Ambrose.
Hello, welcome to the show, the podcast, the time of your life.
Absolutely, the time of your life. And if you're watching the video version of this podcast, you're going to notice that it looks a little different. Glenn, you are not in Florida anymore.
No. Toto, are you not in Kansas anymore.
No.
I am in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah. How's that going?
Awesome.
There's another episode of the podcast where we're going to talk more about that. What are we talking about today?
Today, we're talking about getting addicted to information. I think we've touched on it before.
We have. We've definitely touched on it in the Q&As because it's something that a lot of people have struggled with that they've talked to us about, especially like the self-help information. You know, it's something you've been warning about for 6 years, this cycle of self-help and then loving the feeling that you get of the self-help. Like, yeah, we've talked about it before, but never this in depth. So, you know, how do you know, like, what are your thoughts on whether or not you're getting addicted to the information?
Yeah. And you know, there are a lot of ways. And really the reason I decided to do this is because somebody sent me an email about a specific thing that we'll touch on a little later, but it gave a bunch of examples and it gave me a couple different aspects to ways to come at it. And, which I thought was cool. So we're going to expand into that, I think.
Do you want me to read some of the email or?
No, I'll just give an overview first and then we'll go into that.
Sure.
Because that's just a version of what we're talking about.
So, right.
So like getting addicted to information, it can take a lot of ways, you know, a lot of looks, and it's really, there's so much information out there. We literally live in an information age, you know? Yeah. So like there's just a lot of it is actually really good, which is cool. But the thing of it is we do get a pleasurable feedback from doing anything good for ourselves. So if we expose ourselves to something good, like if you just expose yourself to love, like it's, you know, you're going to feel some level of pleasure, as opposed to if you expose yourself to hate, you're going to feel some level of negativity. So it's the same thing with information. So if anything has a high vibration to it, a helpful vibration to it, an enjoyable vibration to it, you know, a self-help vibration, then you're going to experience some level of pleasure, most likely. You know, I mean, unless something triggers you or you don't like the way the person speaks or, you know, something like that. But generally, when things are clicking with you, you're going to experience a pleasurable experience, and which is wonderful, but it can be addictive. You know, we can, because it's like, oh, I like the way I feel when I do this. I must have done something good. And very rarely do we slow down enough to really understand what we're feeling or thinking or why it's happening. We're just habitual beings. If we do things consistently and we feel better after, we just keep doing them. And, you know, if a lot of times it's like, well, is that good for you? Well, yeah, I feel great. Yeah, but I mean, how is it changing your life? And I think, you know, one of the best ways to really see if you're addicted to information is to really just slow down and, you know, think back, like, when did you start taking in information? You know, when did this process start? And for a lot of people, it's 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. It can be extended periods of time, and you have to look at how much your life has changed over that period of time. I mean, if you're just not as miserable as you were before, you can make greater progress than that. You know?
And I imagine, would you say that it's tricking yourself into thinking that you're making progress?
Completely. By,
you know, like, if you read a book about exercise, you know, you feel like you're doing something good for yourself. But if you're not doing those things, if you're watching, you know, YouTube tutorials about, you know, clean eating, but then you're going to McDonald's that day, like, you get the... Like, does it just, is it perpetuating your own, is it giving you enough of a good feeling to not do the things that you should be doing?
Yes, because it's kind of basically what it is it's not true sustenance. It's not spiritual sustenance. It's egoic food. So, like, you know, I mean, not all aspects of the ego are bad, and it's not this evil thing. It's just kind of how we run when we're running unconsciously. It's egoic. So when you're functioning egoically, it means you're functioning unconsciously. You're really not aware of what you're doing, why you're doing it, and, you know, on a deep level. So it's, you know, I don't want people to think it's a complete negative connotation. You're not feeding your ego like you think you're better than everybody. You're just feeding your ego so to give yourself pleasurable feedback. And what that does is it obviously minimizes your suffering. So, like, if you're, and suffering is usually the thing that drives us towards large change, not because it has to, it's just because we don't pay attention to anything else. So if we're suffering greatly, then usually that pushes us to actually make active changes and implement new things into our lives and change. But if you're, you know, if you can go have a bad day and every time you're feeling uncomfortable, you just take in a little bit of positive information and then you go, oh, yeah, I'm doing good, something good for myself. Or, oh, yeah, that was a really nice way to look at that. Oh, I feel better. And you just, it's just a momentary, you know, it's like sugar. It burns off real quick. So, you know, so then what do you have? Well, then you have something that you need to give more fuel to. So, like, oh, then you start feeling down. I don't feel good. And then you just take in more. Oh, yeah. Oh, I feel better. So you never suffer long enough to go, hey, I really need to change my life. You know, you just get caught up in that addictive cycle.
Yeah. Now, how do you break out of that cycle? How do you actually do the work? How do you get out of, you know, the
awareness?
Because when it feels good, you want to keep going. Like, right? That's something that you've talked about since the beginning of this podcast is when something feels good, we don't feel the need to change it.
Right. We do what works on some level. It's just like, I think alcohol is a good example. You know, everybody thinks alcohol is the problem and alcohol is actually a solution. It's not a problem. The problem is that it's a crappy solution. So when somebody is addicted to alcohol, they're taking in alcohol because they're maladjusted to life. They're not interacting with life in a way that is pleasing to them, and they anesthetize themselves so they don't feel the pain and the suffering. So it's so, like, you know, the problem is that you're not living your life properly, and you're not you're maladjusted to it. You don't really understand how it works and stuff like that. So the problem is you're maladjusted to life. The solution is alcohol, which makes you not feel the suffering of the fact that you're not interacting with life well. So, and it prevents you from feeling all the suffering. So it does its job. It solves the problem. You don't feel the suffering. So you're like, okay, good. But the problem is alcohol can destroy everything else. You know, it can destroy your body, your relationships, your life, your job, it can destroy everything else in the process, but it still does solve the problem, the initial problem to some degree. So, you know, this is the same thing. It's like we can get addicted. So if you slow down, the answer is always awareness and slowing down. So if you slow down and disconnect from, yeah, but it feels good. Well, maybe you shouldn't. Yeah, but it feels good. I feel good. No, it's good to take in information. No, it's good. It's good. Yeah, but I, no, it's good. Like, stop for a minute, slow down, disconnect. We know it feels good. And there is even pleasurable aspects from taking in information. But we're in a culture that thinks if a little is good, more is better. And that's, you know, and again, alcohol is a good example, you know, not always true. So like, if you slow down and go, okay, well, am I just anesthetizing myself to get through and not actually making any life-altering changes? Has my life actually changed? Or am I just not aware of the suffering that I'm in so much? You know, then if you can slow down and notice that, that if your life really hasn't changed, then you're not implementing what you think you're learning. You're just anesthetizing yourself with information, you know, and the other piece, I think it's important to understand that this is how our brains function, because this is how society functions, you know, so we're just used to doing stuff like this. Like when you go to school and they teach you how to do math, or they teach you English rules and how to write properly, or whatever you learn, it's linear, and they teach you this and then this and then this, and then you know how to do it and you're good. And then they go, okay, you're good. And they send you on your way. And there's a graduation date and everything, you know, but life isn't like that. There is no graduation date, and there's nobody telling you you're done, you know? So like, you can take in information forever. This is why I did that podcast years ago about be who you're becoming. Stop and be who you've been working so hard to try to become. You know, so we have to be taking in this information and implementing it. And if you're taking in information from 10 different teachers, it's confusing. It's because there's so much overlap in spirituality that you can come in the same topic in 30 doors, and to get to understand the concept, you don't have to know all 30 doors. Like that, it's not important. It's not linear like learning things on this plane. It's spiritual. All it is a doorway into a room. Once you're in that room, you're good. You don't need to go explore why other people use the other 29 doors. It doesn't matter. You're in the room. You got there. Like, implement it, you know? So, but people get addicted to learning new ways to get into the same room. And it's like, yeah, but the point is to get in the room, you know? And you're there. So from there, you can start living your life differently. And that's what really changes everything, you know? So that, I think that's one of the reasons why we get addicted to the information. And the other aspect that I've seen is where people unconsciously, people think that there's a key. Like they think if they're not happy yet, then it's because they're missing information. And that's not why you're not happy. If you're not happy, it's because you haven't implemented information. It's not because you don't have it or you're missing the right piece most often, especially if you've been studying this stuff for a while. If you've been learning about it, of course, it can be a learning curve. You could take a little while to take in some information. But at some point, you got to draw the line and just go, like, I have to stop. You're never going to learn enough to make you happy. It doesn't work that way. You can take one piece of information, implement it, and become happier. And then take another piece of information, implement it, and become happier or more peaceful or whatever. But you're not going to someday acquire 6,322.5 pieces of information, and then you'll be ready. Like then, all, you know, and then all of a sudden you'll wake up one day and go, that podcast I listened to last night must have been the last piece because I woke up just exhilarated today. Finally, I've done it.
What role do coaches and therapists and trainers and doctors and stuff, like influencers, what role do they play in the perpetual nature of this, both in perpetuating it and then also in stopping the perpetuation of it, right? So like, when people sign up for a life coach, is the thought that you're going to have a life coach for the rest of your life by signing up for it? Is the thought that there's a part where I have enough information and I want to go on? Is there a part where
you're
constantly, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I know what you mean. It's really about the way the counselor, therapist, psychologist, psychiatrist, life coach, spiritual teacher, whatever, it's how they work, you know, and which is usually based on their belief systems, not on their title. Because there are wonderful people that do wonderful work in all those areas. And I bet you, you could find somebody. I mean, obviously, I think what I do is a good thing. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it.
Right.
So I guarantee you, you could find people with every one of those titles that I mentioned that work very similar to the way that I work, that have different titles, but I'm called a life coach or a spiritual teacher, you know? So it doesn't matter what the title is. It matters how they work. And I think that, you know, one aspect, I think people have to be very, self-help is really fashionable right now. Like before, like if you told somebody you're going to a therapist, they'd be like, you're going to a head shrink? What are you, crazy? You know, now it's like, oh, I have an appointment with my therapist. And they go, oh, that's good. Good for you. You're working on yourself. That's excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
You know, oh, who's your therapist? This is my therapist. It's very in right now. So the problem is like just going to a therapist, it's like what happens is if we don't change anything in our own lives, we go out in the world, we live dysfunctionally, which builds up an issue within us. We go to the therapist, we throw up all over the therapist or the counselor or whatever. So we puke it out, and there's a pleasurable sensation we feel from getting it off our chest, because that's step one. And then they, you know, some people sit there and listen and they go, yeah, okay, wonderful. Glad you feel better. And then you leave for the day and you think you actually accomplished something, which you didn't, because you go back out in life, you create more controversy. You go back the next week or 2 weeks later, you throw up, you purge, you feel better. Then you go back and you do it again. And some people make their living listening to people do that for 20, 30, 40 years. And to me, oh my God. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it as a life coach. I couldn't do it as a client. I mean, like, let's freaking solve something for the love of, you know. So that is what you need to. If you've been with a therapist for 10 years and nothing has changed, you need to get away from that therapist. They are not helping you. You know, so just look, if your life's not, and I mean, it's with anyone. I mean, if somebody's working with me and their life isn't getting better, they should leave me.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to take it personally. It's okay. You know, maybe it's my fault. Maybe they just need information a different way. Maybe there's a block that they need to get through a different way. Whatever. Rock the boat. If you're going year after year after year and your life isn't getting better, then, you know, there's a problem. So that's what they have to look out for. And I think it really just depends on, you know, most people that I know nowadays that work in this type of capacity do not just sit there and allow people to, you know, not change their lives year after year after year after year.
Right. And I think that, like, you know, there's the accountability. Like, you're not working. I know, like, from my experience working with you and whatever, you're not working on the same thing year after year. You're not, like, if there's no progress, you know, taking on new information is great. Like, you always say on the podcast, like, there's like 11 spiritual laws at the foundation of everything. And everything else is just like stuff that you build on top of that, or details. But like your, There's nice accountability in it, but it's not getting the, I think that this is why a teacher is better than a video, and a teacher is better than just a podcast, because right. There's some accountability of it compared to the addiction loop of the addiction information loop.
Right. You know? And you can get called out on your stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like if somebody, and you know, there's a feedback. So like if you take in, if we're having a conversation and I say something and you go, oh yeah, I'm good with that.
Right.
And I go, no, you're not.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, that's a big point. Whereas if you're watching a video, you can be like, oh, I got that. Yeah. That's exactly what we tell ourselves when we don't want to look at something. You know, so a life coach getting to know you personally, it's very helpful. And I think, you know, I think guides, teachers and stuff like that, I think are wonderful to have. I think they, you know, I didn't have one early in my journey. I mean, I had one like the first year and then I didn't have one for many years. And then I had one for a little while again. So I've kind of experienced different aspects of it. And I made much greater progress much faster when I had a teacher, you know, working with me.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to see your own stuff. There's emotion around it. So it's very valuable. I just don't think that we should have 30 teachers. You know, right. You just don't need information coming in on that many flavors, on that many levels. It's confusing. Nobody can, that's like studying every version of math at once, like all at once, like, you know, like, so every day you read a book about algebra, you know, and geometry and calculus, and like every day you read it all at once, you know, and for years, it's like your head's going to be spinning around, you know? So it's, you just work with, I think one teacher at a time is appropriate. Sometimes, you know, I mean, there's no set law. Sometimes it's good to work with two at the same time, or work with one and then, you know, have a book going or follow one or two podcasts. I mean, you can take in other information here and there. It's just, it can't be, you just have to see how you're implementing it in your life. I think that's the biggest piece. How is your life changing? Because if it's not, you're just spinning around in the same spot.
Right. And how do you gain the awareness of, am I in this situation? You know, where it, oh, this is probably just a positive feedback loop and I feel bad and I watch something or I listen to something and then I feel a little bit better, but then I don't do anything. Like, how do you know other than going like, oh, and now it's been 4 years of this, you know, like,
well, if you slow down and you're honest with yourself, it's really not that difficult, to be honest with you. It's, yeah. You know, which is, but that this is, I don't know, man. I think I'm going to just change my like title to slow down teacher. Like that's what I'm going to be, because everything comes down to that. We don't, because if you look at spiritual law, spirituality, absolutely everything that I teach, if you look at it, slow down. Just really slow down and look at it and have a logical conversation either with yourself or someone else. You can see it makes perfect sense and it's not complicated. It's very, 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 very simple. And if you do the same thing with the way you are living your life, the way that society tells you to live your life, it makes zero sense. None whatsoever. And it's very simple. It's foolish. Most things in our lives that society has told us to be doing are ridiculously foolish. And it's not one makes sense and one is completely foolish. It's really not that difficult if we slow down and look. So, you know, so if you're doing something that like is just repetitive and you're not getting much out of it, your life isn't improving. How do you know? You just stop and look at it and you go, am I doing something repetitive that's not improving my life? Yes. Oh, bingo. You got your answer. or you go, no, I think my life is improving. Oh, well, logically, what's the next question that comes after that? Well, how would I know? How would I know if my life is improving? Well, you look at your life and see if it's getting better. That's how. So you look at your life. And if you can go, oh, well, this is better. And this is better. and I implemented this here and that's better. Oh, my life is getting better. Bingo, you got your answer.
So it's official. The new name of the podcast is Life Lessons and Laughter with Slow Down Coach Glenn Ambrose.
Slow down, coach.
If you guys are watching the video of this right now on Facebook or YouTube, then you can see that there's a graphic as well. All right. So how do you tell your friend that you think that they might be addicted to positive information?
Gently.
Okay.
Yeah. Just slow down. Slow down and have, yeah, I always tell people, like, you know, start with yourself if you can. Like, if you can find, and I don't believe in lying, but if I think most of us, if we look at our lives honestly, we can find a way that we have done the exact same thing. So you just use yourself as an example. Hey, you know what I realized? I was doing this, and I was just addicted to the information. And you know, and sometimes they'll pick up on it and go, wow, that's interesting. You know, I think I'm doing the same thing. Or they'll be like, yeah, you really shouldn't do that. That's stupid. You know, and then they'll keep going. We can't control others, so it's all right. But we should get to that example that was emailed.
Yes.
From our friend in Melbourne, Australia.
Absolutely. I was wondering about your ideas on, or your views on, labeling ourselves and others with the use of star sign traits, personality tests, etc. I have read up on and done so many, including astrology, Enneagram, Myers-Briggs, strength test via character testing, love languages, empath test, introvert, extrovert, ambivert, four tendencies quiz, spark type, just to name the ones I recall. As interesting and often very accurate as they can be, are they an excuse to cop out sometimes, or is it a judgment when you identify someone else with a particular label? I know I have offended by some people by asking what star sign they are, or is it a good way of learning who you are?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the reasons that I wanted to bring this up was because it said, you know, what are your views about labeling ourselves? And, you know, labeling ourselves is, you know, that's it. You don't want to put yourself in a box. There is no label that's going to describe what we are, you know, because I mean, if you go, I am Glenn with brown hair and blue eyes, and I grew up in Massachusetts, that's who I am. Most people are going to, you know, that are leaning in a spiritual direction are going to go, Glenn, that's not really who you are. It's just your egoic identity. You know, right? Something like that. So, but if you go, well, I'm a Leo and I was born under the sign of, you know, I don't know all the specifics, so I can't go on too in-depthly. But like, you know, and this is my Myers-Briggs and this is this. And then, you know, some people are going to go, wow, you've done a lot of work on yourself and you're very insightful. No, it's just another label. It's just another, you know, it's just another way to try to put yourself in a box. And because we're looking to feel comfortable and to feel safe. So if we can label something, generally that makes us feel like we know what it is. And if we think we know something, then we're like, oh, okay, now I can relax. Because I, you know, not knowing is very uncomfortable for a lot of people. And that's what we need to try to reverse. Not knowing is the best thing ever when you get comfortable with it.
I'm a Libra INFP.
Okay, congratulations. That
told me nothing about you. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea what that means.
So, I mean, you know,
people seem to think it's accurate.
You know, there are like some of this stuff can be accurate, but, you know, like, you know, a lot of these tests have, you know, four letters in it. Okay. Well, that's four different character traits. So you can have two people that have the same four letters that are a little more of one letter than the other letter. And there's millions of combinations and gray area as in each letter. Next to each letter as to how much of them you are, as that. So you know, and the astrology, I mean, yeah, okay, well, you know, before years ago, it was like, oh, I'm a Leo, this is who I am. Now it's a Leo born under the sign in a setting sun of a moon and at the certain time and the like. And I'm not like making fun of any of this stuff. I think that there's some validity to it. But what it is there's so many aspects of it. You can't just sit there. And if you ask an astrologist, I think that they would probably say that I'm right. If you say, okay, well, if you just minimize all of astrology and say, Glenn, you're a Leo, so you're just like every other Leo, you would not be getting the full picture. I think astrologists would agree with me on that. Yeah. You know, and yeah, that's all I'm saying is that within the house of Leo, there are many variations within that and with everyone. So this stuff, it's so the one thing is don't get attached to it with a label. You know, don't try labeling things to make yourself feel better. Not knowing something is when you feel the essence of it. Like, you know, if you look at somebody and you think you have them figured out, all of a sudden you just close your mind off to what they are capable of, you know? And so it's when you see a little child, this is how I always visualize it. When I see a little child see a dragonfly for the first time, that is cool, man. Because the dragonfly is like hovering there and the little kid's like, and they don't have a label for it. So they don't know what to say. They don't know how to describe it. They've never seen something move like that. The pretty colors on it. There's so much essence to that dragonfly. They can't even speak. There's so much joy and excitement in them that it's overwhelming and they feel it through their entire body. That is cool, man. That is life. And that is essence. That's what happens when we see the essence of something. So like when we label something, we go, oh, it's a dragonfly. No, honey. It's okay. It's just a dragonfly. Oh my God, don't say that. You just sucked the essence right out. Oh, you know, it was this amazing, wondrous, beautiful, alive, joyous thing. But now it's just a dragonfly. You know, do you see how labeling something just takes the essence out of it? So we have to steer clear of the labels and thinking just because we can label something, we know what it is, because we don't, you know? So coming from that aspect, I think it's important to touch on the validity of some of this stuff. You know, I think that I've been around this game too much and too long to think that there's no validity to the stars and the planets. Like I've seen stuff, man. I've seen patterns. I felt things where I'm like, what the heck? And then all of a sudden I read some astrology thing that happens to pop up in my feed. And I'm like, oh my God, that's exactly what I'm experiencing. And I don't live my life by that. So there's no way I could have like manifested it. You know, it's just, so I've seen that stuff too much. Numerology, I've seen insane. Like my friend down here, Tahira, is a number seven, and I'm a number seven, and she's really well versed in the numerology aspect. So, and we are so alike in so many ways, it's nuts. So we're just like talking about something, and she's looking at me, she's going, "Yeah, we're sevens. Yeah, that's seven. That's a seven trait. See this, that, this. See," and I'm like, "Wow, man." You know, it's cool.
That one, I have no idea what I am.
So, but it can be cool. It can help give us insight. Sometimes if we have some vague ideas about somebody, especially, so we don't have to, again, don't try labeling everybody. But if you have a partner in your life and they are a seven, and sevens tend to, I don't even know because I'm not as well versus
sure.
Let's just say sevens shoot off at the mouth and then they calm down later. Let's just say that's a trait, which I don't know that it is. But if you know that about somebody and you go, hey, he's a seven, that's a trait, and actually I've seen him do that a bunch of times, so it's a trait that he actually embodies on a consistent basis, then that can help give you an understanding of a trait of that person. And then if they shoot off at the mouth, you might go, just, I'm going to be a little bit extra patient with this one because he's a seven. And I'm just going to give him a few minutes and he'll come right back down around. So I don't need to correct him every time he shoots off at the mouth because it's kind of his personality. So in ways like that, if we use this type of information to you know, interact and we hold things loosely, we tend to, again, you know, we try to grab onto things like it's the answer or the key, or once we know, we can relax. No, when we don't know, we're never going to know. And it's sometimes a seven is going to act like a five, and that's going to throw your whole system off.
You know, like, yeah.
So don't attach to it too tightly. You know, that's what I mean. And I wanted to touch on her because I know we got to be getting close to time, right?
We're 7 minutes over almost.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I want to just touch on that last aspect of what she put. So
yeah.
As accurate as they can be, can it be an excuse or a cop-out sometime? If you overly identify with somebody with a particular label, it can be a problem. Offending people by asking what star sign they are, yeah, that sounds like it's their problem. But also
for a cop-out, if you're, you know, I guess if the seven is shooting off at the mouth too much, you know, then you got to hold them accountable for that. Or if you're like, this is just who I am, this is what I do, and like you excuse yourself for bad behavior, then yeah.
Exactly. You know? And that's, yeah, not, that was actually the point. I was kind of scanning to see if there was anything else, but that was exactly the point that I wanted to touch on.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
We had talked about it beforehand. I was leading you back.
So the cop-out, it's like, yes, it can totally be a cop-out. You know, we have to take responsibility for our actions. And, you know, just because, like, if I shoot off at the mouth too much, well, then I think balance is a good way to find peace. So, yeah, maybe I'll always lean in that direction too much.
Yeah.
You know, but... like if I'm conscious of it and know that I do it a little bit too much and I have a tendency to do it a little too much, then I should be conscious. Hopefully that consciousness around it will help me do it less so I can use it to my, you know, so it can help us to know ourselves better and it can help us to minimize things that we may do too much and get back into balance a little bit. But yeah, we can't use these things as an excuse for other people's behavior or our own behavior. There is no excuse, you know, like nobody makes a jerk. Like there's no archetype that's a jerk. Like they don't make those. Jerks are created. Jerks are earned, you know. So yes, we cannot lean on it as a cop out. So I think the overall, to sum it up, is information can be good. Learning about yourself through archetypes or in astrology or numerology or other things, it can be good, but just hold it loosely, man. There is no replacement for going within. Going within is where you find the true answers. Yeah, make that a quote, dude. Is that what you're doing? You're writing it down?
Yeah.
There's no replacement for going within. So don't attach to things. Hold things loosely and you can use them to benefit yourself a little bit, but don't use it as an excuse or latch on too tightly, you know? So wonderful. There.
Yep. And if you want somebody to help you be accountable for that stuff, check out glennambrose.com.
Yeah, I might know a guy.
Me too. All right. Thanks, everybody. Say goodbye, right. Glenn.
Thanks, everybody. Talk with you soon.
Glenn is available for life coaching sessions. To book an appointment or for more information, go to glennambrose.com, follow him on Facebook and Twitter, or click the link in the description of this episode.